Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. You are joining us on a good day because today we set out with a man named Abram in his walk with the one true and everlasting God. We will read about how God plucked one man out of obscurity and made this man famous because of what holy God did for him and in and with his life. He is our father Abraham. And let's pick up our Bibles and read about him, beginning in Genesis chapter 11. If you have access to your copy of the Bible, go to the beginning and leave a marker at Genesis 11, verse 26. That's Genesis 11, verse 26. We need to spend some time identifying the people and places in these verses. In what I will soon read, we come upon several names, both of people and places, all of which we need to know something about because these are integral to the life of Abraham. We begin our pilgrimage with Abraham by learning about the people and the places associated with him. Robert A. Caro is the biographer of the former American president Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ for short. Caro has four dictionary-sized books out on him now, and one more is coming. I enjoy Caro's writing and very much appreciate his meticulous research. I'm personally not a fan of his subject, President Johnson, but it will be hard to find a more dedicated biographer than Robert Caro. And in his short book, Working, which I read a couple of years ago, Caro describes his strong work ethic and the lengths he goes to in researching LBJ prior to even writing a single word. Well, one of the things he did was to take his wife and to move from New York City to the hill country of rural Texas, because that is where LBJ was born and grew up. That is where LBJ came from. Those were his roots. Caro felt it would be profitable to make a few visits there to try and talk to some people who were still living and knew the Johnsons, and to pull out some details for his biographies. But on a visit, what he realized was that locals were hesitant to speak with him and tell him too much. So he came back from one of those trips and declared to his wife, "Let's move there." And they did for 3 years. And once they lived in the community, well, then people began to talk, and Robert Caro got the historical background right in his Volume 1, which opens this four-volume series on one man, Lyndon Baines Johnson. I thought of Caro as I considered and did my research on a far more important historical man, and he is Abraham. Moses, whom I believe wrote Genesis, Moses introduces us to the people and the places that influenced Abraham. And he starts in what we now call Genesis chapter 11. And it is appropriate and worthwhile that in our own research of Abraham, that we move in to where he grew up, and that we begin to listen as our biographer Moses describes what life was like for Abram, his original name, and his family way down in a place called Ur. You are Ur. That is, Ur of the Chaldeans. I am reading the book of Genesis chapter 11, verses 26 to 32. Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. At first glance, that may not seem like a text that includes a lot of people's names and place names, but it does. And quite frankly, these can be somewhat confusing if you do not pay close attention to each one and identify the person and the place at the beginning of Abraham's story. The reason the narrator, again, I believe him to be Moses, gives us the names of these people and places here is because each one has a part to play in the ongoing drama. So we better pause and make sure we learn what we can about them. And some of this is in what we might consider to be minor details. For example, verse 30 says Sarai was barren and she had no child. But that is not a minor point. The fact that Sarai was not able to have children plays into the story in a big way as it continues. Whereas Milcah, Nahor's wife, was not barren. Well, did you know she became the mother of Bethuel, who was the father of Rebekah, who became the wife of Isaac, who eventually is the son of Abraham and Sarah? I point this out now to say that every detail here counts. It's like reading any book that takes place in different places with lots of characters. So that we comprehend the story, we want to make sure we know who is who and where is where. All competent authors write in such a way so readers can make all the connections, and Moses writes like that. But admittedly, this is the Bible, not the latest fiction or fantasy novel we grabbed off the shelf at the bookstore or downloaded to our phone, tablet, or Kindle. So let's go back in time and make some further identifications, shall we? If you're not on the road driving, you might want to take some notes in your Bible and keep these as we move along in the days ahead. And I want to begin with an overview of the names. When I follow my usual practice of copying and pasting these verses onto a Word document, and then I blow that up into a nice readable font size and pull out my marker, I circle the following names: Terah, Abram, Nahor, Haran, Lot, Sarai, Milcah, and Iscah. That's 8 names, 5 are men, and 3 are women. We can plot these names and their relationships to one another as follows. Terah is the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. I suspect he had other children, but these are the names of the 3 boys we have here in Genesis 11. Then this man Lot was the son of Haran, so Lot is the grandson of Terah. Haran is also the father of Milcah and Iscah. So Lot is the brother of Milcah and Iscah. Or another way to say this is Milcah and Iscah are the sisters of Lot. Then this woman Milcah marries Nahor. And yes, Nahor is her uncle. Another way to say that is Nahor married his niece. And our last name is Sarai. The text says Sarai married Abram. And over in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 12, we learn that Sarai is the half-sister of Abram. So Abram marries his half-sister, or we can say Sarai marries her half-brother. Abram, speaking in Genesis 20, verse 12, explains, "She actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife." That's Genesis 20, verse 12. Terah is the father of Abram and Sarai, but Abram's mother is a different woman from Sarai's mother. This simply means that Terah had more than one wife. He fathers children by more than one woman. Verse 31 of Genesis 11 identifies Sarai as Terah's daughter-in-law, and that is because she has married Abram. Listen to the text. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. I just want to clarify that Sarai is both the daughter and daughter-in-law of Terah. I hope all these names and their relation to one another is becoming clear in your mind. I will say that what will be a help and benefit to you is if you will set aside a little quiet time tonight and read this text for yourself, highlighting the names and drawing some arrows to define the relationships. The passage is Genesis chapter 11, verses 26 through 32. For those of you wondering about these marriages, niece to uncle and half-sister to half-brother, let me quote Henry Morris in his book, The Genesis Record. Such close marriages were later forbidden in the Mosaic Law, but at this early date, they were not particularly dangerous from a genetic point of view, and so were not uncommon. Unquote. Indeed, God allowed for these kind of marriages early on in history as the human race develops, but then outlaws them in the law God gave to Moses. For example, in the book of Leviticus. When we meet again tomorrow, I want to say a tad bit more about these people by way of overview and tell you what we believe some of these names mean. None of the words of the Bible are wasted. Every person and place here named is important. So we want to start with this. You know, I read an author like Robert A. Caro, and I think about how obsessed he is with President Johnson and all the hours and years of research he has put into him. And then I think of how, as Christians, we are not nearly as obsessed with God as we should be. And how many, too many believers put such little time and effort into digging down deeply into the Bible and really researching God's Word. Let this not be said of us. Let's get to work. I'm glad to have you with us, and I hope you will plan to be right back here again as we end the week together tomorrow, learning who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.